Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kif Zayin. We're holding the sixth line from the top of the Amud. And we're continuing to talk about Hilchos Netilas Yadayim before the Seuda. And the Gemara tells us, among other requirements, you have to have a Koyach Gavra. Koyach Gavra means that you have to make sure that the water that falls on the person's hands are waters that were poured by a person. For instance, you cannot go and put your hand just underneath the faucet and get the water that way. There's a separate thing that you have to have a kli. But besides that, it has to be mikoyach gavra. And we'll see exactly how that plays out in the following fact pattern. So, Amra Papa, Hai Arisa Didaloi, Ein Noitli Menali Yadayim, Tli Osu Mikoyach Gavra. But the mekam v'gabi davla, the kosmi koyach gavra, then it's okay. What is this all about? So talking about, you have, for instance, a very large piece of land where there are numerous farms, one next to each other. And all of these farms needed water for their crops to grow. And besides rainwater, they had a major, major irrigation canal that led from, for instance, a local river. So that major irrigation canal runs from, let's say, top to bottom, from north to south of all of these properties. But then you need that the water should go and leave the irrigation canal to get to each property individually. So it's a very, very long, let's think of it as a very long vertical canal. And then every 100 feet, 200 feet, 500 feet, they happen to be on the right and on the left, horizontal irrigation ditches that lead out from this long canal. Now, presumably there are times when, as a result of the weather and a result of the incline, the water goes naturally from the canal into those smaller ditches. However, there are apparently times of the year where that was not the case, and you needed someone to go and take a dli, or the Gemara calls it a davla, that means a bucket, so that at each time that you had an intersection between the major canal and between these smaller ditches, there would be an individual, let's call him Yankel. Yankel would go and take his davla, he would take his bucket, and he would go and shep, means he would draw water from the larger canal, and he would pour it into the ditches. And that was a very successful way of the water getting through the ditch and into the farm, and it was a great thing for irrigating the field. Good. Now, Beryl comes along, and Beryl wants to go and wash his hands for Hamoitzi. And, for whatever reason, he decides the best way he's going to do it is he's going to put his hands into this irrigation ditch, and he's going to have the benefit of the water flowing from the bucket that Yankel is pouring into that ditch from the original canal. So what Agamar is going to tell us is, it really depends on the distance between Yankel, who's pouring the water with the bucket into the ditch, and Beryl, who's standing there waiting for the waters to go over his hands. If he happens to be far away, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the distance is, but let's take for an example, 25, 50 feet, whatever. So by the time the water gets to his hands, they're already going on their own with their own velocity, with their own speed, based on the incline of the land, based on whether there happens to be a wind or a draft that day, based on whether there are rocks or obstacles in the ditch that are holding the waters back. It is no longer as a result of the pouring of the water by Yankel into this ditch, and therefore when it reaches Beryl's hands 50 feet later, it's no longer called Koyach Gavra. However, if Beryl is willing to walk a little bit closer to the front of the canal, or the front of the ditch, I should say, so that when Yankel is pouring the water, it doesn't go directly over his hands, because that's a double poshet. I mean, that's just like the way we wash, or if I wash your hands, you wash my hands, that's a double poshet. We're talking about that's twice 5 feet away, 10 feet away. It's still close enough that it's called koyach gavra, so that when the water goes into the ditch, and I put my hands in the ditch, the water is coming on my hands as a result of Yankel's having poured with his bucket into that ditch. So let's look at the Lashon HaGemara. Amar Papa, Hai Arisa Didaloi. Arisa Didaloi are these irrigation ditches which are used by the water drawers. Ain't like when you die. Don't put your hands in to go and be Yoitze Netilas Yadayim, till you ask me Koyach Gavra, because it doesn't come from the pressure of someone who poured the water in. In other words, if your hands are far removed, you're not getting the benefit of the Koyach Gavra. the makrav gabi dav. However, if you go to the front of the line, to the beginning of the irrigation ditch, where Yankel is now in the midst of pouring the water, oh, then it's kosher mikrakav. That it did come from his, you could still feel that velocity that's coming, the speed of the water that he poured in. Then you can use it for your daim after all. Rashi says, why can't you just go and put your hands in and be out to vilas your daim like we had in the Gemara yesterday? So Rashi says you can't be yoitza tvila because you don't have the sheer mikvah. These are relatively small, narrow ditches, and you don't have 40 saw. Taisva says you don't need to come onto that. L'choy, the reason is because it's mayim she'uvim. It's no longer meksham. How do you know it's mayim she'uvim? Because the person went and drew it with a bucket. He poured it. So why does Rashi not give that reason? So there's a question as to whether Rashi holds that for purposes of tevilas yodayim, which is bimkaim netilas yodayim, do you really need make shamim like a regular mikvah? Or maybe even mayim she'uvim would be enough? And that seems to be the reason why Rashi doesn't bring the reason of the mayim she'uvim. He only brings the reason because of it doesn't have a sheer mikvah. Anyway, let's look quickly at the Rashi to see that Rashi explained it the way we did it. The second line from the top. Hi, arisa de doloi. Tzinar. Tzinar doesn't mean a pipe over here. It really means a ditch. Sheshoif kolei mayim in the yard that you pour water in from the larger canal. Bidli, with a bucket. V'hu moylech mayim lesodis, and that causes the water to go and drain down into the field. Einat min rayim. Lo seis yadu v'toichan, to put your hands in it. V'yekalchu ha-mayim l'toichan, and the mayim is going to pour over his hands. No, don't do that. Telam koyach gavra also. Shikvar ovar koyach ha-shoifich. The koyach of the shoifich that pour the water in, that's forgotten. That's already history. V'hein mekalchan ne'aleh. They're now flowing on their own. V'hein kan le'netila v'le'tvila. Netila telam koyach gavra also. They're just flowing on their own in this ditch. No koyach gavra. No netila. Tvila nami b'tzina lesa. She'ein kan shir mikvah, like we said before. However, says Rashi, v'mekech v'gavri davla. Kishadoy le'shoifich. V'zeno his hands are very close to the initial pouring.
So it seems from Rashi that the Shir Mikvah is the issue, not Mayim Shim. So Mayim Shuvim of Shir Mikvah would be effective for Tefillah Sedayim?
That's the point that we're making. That's the choices over here. If you want to do choices for homework.
No, but it has to be a Shir Mem Saw of Mayim Shuvim to accomplish Tefillah Sedayim?
That's otherwise okay.
No, just the idea of a Shir of Mayim She'uvim, of Mem Saw is a new concept to my mind.
It's only for the purposes of the Tefillah Siyadayim, not for the other person.
Tefillah Siyadayim, for Tefillah.
The Tefillah Siyadayim to be Yotze, the din of Netilah Siyadayim.
I see, okay, thank you.
A person has to go and do Netilah Siyadayim every time he makes Hamoitze. Says our Gemara, instead of doing the Tefillah, you can do it Al Yedei Tefillah. But says Rashi, but for Yedei Tefillah, you also need 40 saw.
Okay.
Says Toises, forget about the 40 saw, you have a Mayim She'uvim Mishum. And therefore, that's another reason why it's no good. That's why, yes, if you have water. Today, of course, all of this is more or less kind of theoretical, because Baruch Hashem, there's so many sinks all over, and you have cups all over, so it's much, much simpler than it used to be.
Because the issue with summer camp, some kids are on a teul or something.
Ah, okay, that could happen, sure. Zoki Morbaita. And you continue on the same halach of Rapapa. The Ibazia Davla, the Koinis Mashka. May the flyfi umatvil bo esayidaim. What is this all about? So the Gemara says, remember now, we have three watering options over here. We have the original major canal. We have the person who's holding the yankel, who's holding the davli, is holding the bucket, and he's pouring into the ditch. Aha. What happens if that bucket is being used now since the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, today's his Yahrzeit, and it has developed a leak? It's not surprising. It's a leak. It's already an old bucket. And the leak is large enough that it's kikoinis mashke. What means kikoinis mashke? Because there is even a smaller shear of yoitze mashke, where the mashke is dripping out or leaking out. Now, when you have a situation where the hole is so small that it's only kimoitzi mashke, that it's considered to still be a viable kli, because it means that there's a drip occasionally, a drop of a nishgeferlich, and most people, at least in the good old days, would continue holding on to that kli and they would not dispose of it. However, if it's already kimkoines mashke, that means that it's already a larger hole. What do you mean? So if you go and fill up a kli with water and you see that from time to time there's a drop or a drip coming out, that's the smallest hole that you can possibly have. That's moitzi mashke. Normally such a kli, if you were to go and put it, for instance, in a larger kli which is full of water, the hole is so small that water will not enter into the kli that has the hole. It's only small enough to let water out, but not water in. It's a small leak. Once it becomes kikoinis mashke, that means that the leak is, in fact, larger, and therefore now you have a situation where the Gemara is calling this kli as if it is an extension cord between the canal and the ditch. So now the ditch becomes part and parcel as an extension of the canal. What do you mean? Yankel is standing there. Try to picture in your own head. Yankel is standing there between the canal and the ditch. He is pouring on the one hand, and guess what's happening? The back of the pail that he is now pouring, there's a little stream coming out from that pail, going down into the original canal from which he took the water from initially. So therefore you have water pouring on both sides, if you will. One, of course, a major pouring, because he's pouring into the ditch. Another one, this small little stream that's coming from the bucket into the original canal from which he took the water from in the first place. Now he has manually caused this extension, and since the canal itself does have the shiur mikvah, now the ditch in which he's pouring the water is considered to be an extension of the mikvah, so therefore he could use it for tvilas yadayim, to be yoitz the din of netilas yadayim. And now you don't need a din of koyach gavra, because for tevila you don't need koyach gavra, only for netila, and therefore you can be matpil basi yadayim. That's what we're saying. The ibazia davla. Davla means the bucket, the dli. Bazia, it got a hole, it got a crack. Kekoinis mashke, according to with the size of a koinis mashke, which is larger than moitzi mashke. Melef laifi, it's as if now there's an overhang or an overlap between maybe the word overlap and melef laifi, and maybe etymologically, maybe there's some sort of connection. Anyway, so there's now an overlap between the original canal and the new ditch, and it's if they're connected together, therefore he can put his hands in and be tight. Let's look at the next Rashi. Rashi 10, 12, 15 lines on the top. V'bazia dadla kikoinis mashke, bikoinis mashke, kishan nekiv, machnis mashke, godl huktas, shoshan abyssal gresa. It's not the smallest shear, it's already a little bit larger. V'kilua chayoyitz mimenu nira. And you can even see that stream. It's perceptible, it's discernible. You see the stream coming out. V'ashoifech, shoifech derech bid. The person, of course, is pouring. He's not pouring from the hole, he's pouring from the opening of the dli. Litziner into that ditch. And in the back, it's pouring out. Not pouring out, it's at least streaming out in a small stream from that hole. It's if the two are now connected through the dli. Now you can put your hands in. It's not a real tefillah. After all, it's not a real mikvah. If you want to need a real mikvah, don't use this ditch. However, for purposes of washing the shinik, normally you need a shveris anoyd, can then eat a mikvah, but the alma. In other words, like a mikvah down below, or all normal standard mikvahs, you have a hole between the actual mikvah that you go and toivel in, and the bar which is usually concealed, and many people don't even know exists. How do you cause the mayim she'uvim inside the mikveh to work? Through hashaka. What's the size of the hashaka? It's got to be kishushveris anoyd, like the opening of a bottle, which is be'erach two etzpois, which are so'uvim ze'ezeh, that you can go and circle. Anyway, here you don't even have that. You only have this little hole here, koinis mashke, but that's enough for purposes of tvilas adayim, which is bimkon tvilas adayim. You don't need more than that.
It's not continuous though. When the uncle is pouring with this hole, koinis mashke, in both directions, the major pouring into the ditch, mm-hmm. and the stream emitting from the dali back into the canal.
Right.
When the person downstream, it's not continuous. So the person downstream is dipping his hands into the ditch and is getting the benefit of the chibur is getting the benefit of the chibur into the from the original canal.
Yeah.
It's not continuous. There's an interruption. It's not this. I mean, this is.
Shagmar's like telling us it doesn't have to be. Yankel doesn't have to stand there 24 hours a day, as long as at the first point when he was pouring the water, there's a stream going back and there's a stream going forward, and the streams are totally different. This is huge volume. This is just a little volume. It's enough for our purposes that it's deemed to be kusha for tvilas yadayim bimkoim netilas yadayim. So that's the first halacha. The Amar Rava Nochashtikel Kalisha Nikim Bekoinis Mashke Ein Noitlem Menli Yadayim. As we know, whenever we wash our hands for hamoitzi, you have to use a kaili. You have to use a cup. If the cup has a hole in it and the hole is large enough for Kainis Mashka, no good. You can't go and use that cup, throw it away, or use it for something else. You have to use a kli, which is a kli sholem, for purposes of washing. If the kli is so small that it cannot hold, I'm sorry, start again. Kli she'ein bo revias. You have a large kli, which could hold even a revias, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it doesn't have a revias inside the kli. In other words, you only have a small amount inside the cup. Ein noitmel yadayim, that's not enough, because the minimum shear for washing, you asked it before, is a shear revias. How much is a revias? Like, I'm tzmachloikis, whether it's 3.3 ounces, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, whatever. A few ounces of water. So you have to have a few ounces of water for purposes of revias. Pray to Maraini, Va'amarava, the same Rava said, Kli she'ein machzik revias, ein noitmel menli yadayim, a kli that's not machzik revias, which means that the kli is so small, it's like a schnapps glazel, right? How much schnapps glazel? It holds 1 or 2 ounces. So cliche machzivis, it cannot even hold a vias. Ain't no yadayim. You cannot use it for netilas yadayim. Okay, so l'choy, the two halachas would seem to be consistent. Each one requires a vias. The Gemara says that there is a contradiction in terms. Why is there a contradiction in terms? Because the second Rav is focusing on the size of the kli. The first halacha of Rava is focusing on the volume of the water inside the kli. And so therefore the Gemara is medayik. Since Rava said in halacha number 2, that if the kli is so small like a schnapps kli, that it's not machzik revias, no good. Is the chmash or machzik, if you had a larger cup, which did hold a revias, it was 4, 5, 6, 7 ounces, a nice size cup. Avagab de lespe, even if it didn't have a revias of mashk in it, that is sufficient. In other words, a din in the kli, it's not so much a din in the water. Of course, you have to have enough water to go and cover the shear of your fingers that you're washing, goes without saying. But assuming that the water is sufficient, you don't need a shear revias in the water, you just need a shear revias in the kli. So don't we have a seer between Rava and Rava, where Rava says that if the kli doesn't have a revias of water, no good, even though the kli itself is 2, 3, 4 revias. While the second Rava says, oh no, the important thing is the kli, if it's not machzik revias, that's no good. Oh, it's not a din the kli, it's a din the water. It depends how many people are washing from this cup. The first Rava that said kli she'ein boi revias is talking about one person is washing his hands. And we're saying if you're starting off as the first person washing the hands, make sure there's a shear revias in the cup. If there's no shear revias in the cup could be as large as 12 ounces, 15 ounces, 20 ounces. If you don't have enough water for one person, the amount for one person is a revias. No good. Second Rav is talking about the two people together want to wash from this cup. When two people together, if the kli doesn't hold a revias, don't even think about it. But if the kli holds a revias, even though you don't have more than a revias in the cup, two people can use that water together. Now, what's the definition of the word together? The way Rashi learns, it means that the first person will wash his hands with that revias, and there'll still be some water left over inside the kli. The second person can use the leftovers. Again, the amount of the leftover has to be enough to go and cover the shear of the person's hands. Now, you're saying to yourself, how is that possible? Two people using so little water. But remember, the Gemara said yesterday, the amount of water that you need for Netilas Yadayim is either until the second knuckles or until the third knuckles. Second knuckles being the middle of the fingers, third knuckles being all the way to the Gav Hayad. Not including the hand, but until the hand. No, if you're only talking about fingers, Nishgeferla. So that's the second halach of Rava. If you have two people, first Yankel washed his hands, there was a sheer revius, and he left over lamoshal a halber revius, then Beryl can wash his hands from that second half of a revius.
Why do you need a revius in the first place if the second person doesn't even need a revius?
So that's the chiddush of our Gemara, the two rabbis, that when a person wants to go and wash his hands, you have to start off with a revius. Even if he happens to be person number two, he can go and use the whatever remnants of the revius were at the very beginning. So if you're the only guy in the scene and you want to wash your hands, you cannot say, okay, I'm going to go and take less than revius. Let's assume for our purposes, revius is 5 ounces. And you say, well, I have small hands, I have small fingers, not you, but somebody else, and therefore he's going to have 4.5 ounces. No good. You have to have a minimum of 5 ounces. However, if you have two people together, Yankel and Beryl, both want to wash their hands, Yankel washes first. He uses up 2.5 ounces. He leaves over 2.5 ounces for his chaver. Then it's okay, even though the second person on the seat doesn't have the full 5. That's enough. But according to this chat, they both have to come in unison. It's not that first Yankel came, there was 5, and he left over, and then somebody else, oh, since Yankel already used it, and there's still some left, I'm going to... No, no, no. It's got to be that they came together as a package deal, as a unit. And the reason why this works, says the Gemara and says Rashi, because it's what we call Shiore Tahara. Shiore Tahara means that the initial part of this water was used for Tahara purposes. This is the Shirayim, the remnants of that Tahara. Now, a lot of Mefarshim don't like that. That's the way Rashi learned. Other Mefarshim learn, and Simi spoke about it yesterday, but he's not here at the moment, and that is that you have two people wash their hands simultaneously. So you have to have three people altogether. You have to have Yankel, who's going to be the pourer, then you have to have the Beryl, who's going to be the first guy, and then Shmerel underneath, the two pouris, right? So the pourer pours over the two pouris, and they, Baruch Hashem, at the end are richer and not poorer, Chas V'Shalom, from the whole experience. Because that one revius drips down from Beryl's hands to Shmerel's hands. So you're saying to yourself, well, how can you do that in the water? Ah. That's called Shiori Tara, and that is acceptable. So let's look quickly at the Rashi to show you what Rashi learns, and then you heard the second shot as well. Look at the Rashi. Rashi is a halachad halatray. Lachad halfway down the omid. Lachad revius be'inan kibitchel. Avad abitchel, you always need a revius. Avalatray, show you by revius. If you have two people, and originally inside the kli you had a revius. Menotel rishon. V'yachkach notel hashen. You see, Rashi doesn't learn like the second shot. He learns like a one. And then two. Avagav go have a revius with tila shiny. Even though the next second person didn't have a revius, he only had a half a revius. Shaber dummy. Hoyl mishori tahara also becomes shiori tahara. Shiori tahara means shirayim, what's left over, the remnants of what is that we use for tahara. Can a farsh the kamei, like Imor is going to say, may revius. But again, other mafarshim disagree, and talking about that the two wash their hands simultaneously.
When Gershon is mashma,
yes,
it was multi shatter, two together, and he put it both same time.
Okay, so very good. Okay, let's see the variation. Awesome, the awesome share it. Kolima, im yesh by revius mitchila. Noit mi menu afil lishnaim, ava gav dole mot lechol chav chad, ela chatsi revius, the awesome share it, ala revius. Ava main by dechila, ela chatsi revius, ava yashir, oh, good. He doesn't say what it took on top and the bottom, he just says that
it's half a revius. Okay. He poured it to both.
Okay, good. Fine. Good.
Where did they learn the revius part?
What about the revius one?
Where's Rabbi learn revius?
Revius is a standard measure by liquids. How do we know shiurim? All shiurim are lochal amoshim sinai. How do we know, for instance, for achila, that the standard shiur is a kazayas, and sometimes there's a kebeya? All of these things are lochal amoshim sinai. That's the standard shiur always by mashkois. So for instance, if you're making kiddush and Shabbos, you have to have a revius. For Chas V'Shalom, the person become Tomei with dam, he has to have a revius of dam inside an oil of a dam of a mess. Okay, anyway, standard shiur. Excuse me, back to the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, we just finished off two rovers now, and the Gemara brings down a riot. So we answered Holachad, Holachrei, Tisanya, we shouldn't think that this is made up, but rather, now here it says Tisanya, but in truth, I believe it's Titnan, is there to say on the side, Agosh Tisunim, Dalid, yes, Titnan. Because it's the first Mishnah in Masechtas Yodayim, I believe. Boshtei don the Mishnah. May revius. Noitlin li yodayim li echad vafil lishnayim. As long as you start off may revius. May, of course, means mayim. Water of revius. Noitlin li yodayim li echad. You can use that for one person. And you can use it even for two people. Like we just said. How? al shiori tara. Not that you can start over the half revius. You always have to start over the shir of revius. But then multiple people can use it, not only one. Omer Rav Sheshis la'meimer kabdis o. So now Rav Sheshis is now kind of testing a meimer, and he's asking him, tell me, when you wash a tzilas zayin kabdis o amana, are you always careful to go and use a kli as opposed to just putting your hands under the faucet, for instance? Omer en avad, of course, I always use a kli. Are you makbir a chazusa? Chazusa means the appearance of the water. Rashi said shehei ben mare mayim. In other words, she shouldn't be discolored. Are you makbin? I'm like, of course, all my water, crystal clear. I believe in transparency. Yes, it's always crystal clear. Ashiura, are you makbin on a shir? I'm like, of course, I always take a revius. It goes without saying. That's the first version. Ikriyam, there's another version. Hachi, I'm like, I'm always makbin on a kli, and I'm always makbin on the mara that it should have a mara mai. Ashir la kabdina ma. Ashir is nishas a dichti. Tisanyam, because we had in that, actually did not, because we have the Mishnah, first Mishnah Yedayim. May revius may be Yedayim, the Echad Vafilishnaim. So you see that you don't have to have a revius. Even two people can shear one revius. So you see, you don't need a revius. So to Avalahi, however, this is a mistake. Shani Hazamishim, the Gazamishiyare Tara, like we said before. It only works if you started off with a full revius. And two people come together, and one uses the first half, and the second person uses the second half, like Rashi learned, or both of them use it simultaneously, like Mendy showed you from the Beni Gershon, or like other Mepharshim say was on top and on bottom. Anyway, only in that situation, that is the exception to the rule. The regular rule is you have to have a Shia Revis. Good. Now, nowadays you go into the store and you can go and buy all different types of sizes and shapes and all the rest. In the good old days this was not as common, and therefore Iskin of Yankiv in Nehar Pekoid Nakla Bas Rav Yose. Rav Yankiv, who lived in Nehar Pekoid, he went and created, he formed and fashioned a kli. Rashi says Nakla was made out of zechuchis, means it was out of glass, and it was a shear of a revius, so that anybody in town who wanted to go and measure his own cup to see whether it had a shear of revius would come over to Rav Yankiv and say, can I borrow your cup for a moment? Sure, sure, sure. They would be nota the Nakla, and they would go and compare his cup to Rav Yankiv's cup to make sure that in fact it was enough for revius to be able to go wash hands and to go and use it for Kiddush. He would knew that the shear, this was the standard shear of revius in the town of Nehar Pekoid. That was Rav Yankiv's Nakla. Similarly, Iskin Rav Ashi B'Hutzel, Rav Ashi who lived in Hutzel, who was in Hutzel, he went and made a kuza. Kuza is a container, but Rashi says this kuza was made out of cheres, so that's why Natla has the name Natla and kuza has the name kuza. They're both the same share, Bas Rav Yose, share of Revius, but this was made out of glass, and this was made out of cheres, out of earthenware. But both of them are the share of Revius, and people use that as the standard measure in their communities. V'yom Rava, Megubis Chav Yishetikna Noit Mimenu Liyadai. What is Rava being mechadish over here? Don't think that you have to have a cup mitchilas briyose, that when they are manufacturing it, they're making a cup. Hindi muchanim zuman will be able to use this now for the tilas yadayim. No, anything that is a kli that can even subsequently be fashioned into a clay kimble is all true enough. So, for instance, you're talking about a Megubas Chavius. Megubas Chavius is basically the cover, the lid of a Chavius. Apparently, it doesn't have much of a kli kibble to it. It's more of a flat type of cover. But Shetikna, if you go and take it and turn it upside down, or whatever you do to be masakin it to create a kli kibble, you chisel out a little bit, you scoop out a little bit of the material of the Megubas Chavius, so now it has enough to hold a revius, then many times that's really good. You don't have to have a special hini mucham zuman. Doesn't have to say on it on the outside the tilis yadayim cup, and they charge you $9.99 for it or whatever the price.
That type of the coffee jar, yeah, like they can have use for a cup.
According to Agamar, remember all halachas halacha lemaisa. You look at Shulchan Aruch, you ask your competent local Orthodox rabbi. Right. But yeah, based on Agamar, yes.
Years ago, there was a rebbe who was, I remember who it was, and he said that it was more chashuv to wash from a metal quart than from a plastic one.
Fine, I accept that.
I have a basis for that, but that's what he told us.
A kli chashuv, yeah. You want to cover the mitzvah, you want to have a dover chashuv.
You're not worried about revius in this case?
Every time we're always worried about revius. We're worried about it. We are concerned. We are noivis. It has to have revius. We're saying this Mekubas Chavius apparently initially did not have a clay kibble that would be able to hold a revius. What he did was he called some professional architects, engineers, and others that were going to go and build nice money to go and chisel out and carve out from all sides until it has a clay kibble that held at least a revius. Then you can use it for Netilas Yudai. Tanya Mahoki Takarai from a Brisa. Megupas Chavis. We just spoke about Shetikna, that they fashioned it, they worked on it, and now there's Baruch Hashem Akli Kibul. No, you remember your dime? Fine. Same thing is Chemes Ukvisa. Chemes Ukvisa, says Rashi, are canteens that were made out of leather. And they have to be able to go. What? They had in the good old days. We had, when I remember when we were kids in camp, we also had these canteens. They weren't made out of leather. Overnight hikes. Yeah, those days they didn't have the Polish spring water. The Hungarians didn't want to drink Polish spring, I guess. Anyway, so at that time you had to have the canteens made out of leather. And it says in the Mefarshim, it also has to be able to stand, not just go and lie. But if you go and fashion that so that it should be able to be a good kli for washing, no problem, you can use it for washing hands. Now, if you're talking about a sack, or you're talking about a box, but derech klal, your average sack and your average kupa doesn't hold the water, because they're not meant to go and hold liquids, and therefore if you have a sack or a kupa, it develops a small little hole, or a kupa doesn't even need a hole the way it's manufactured, it's more of like a wicker type of situation. Anyway, so the water is going to pour out. But in this case, we have a sack, a kupa, avu bishem makablim. You cannot use it. So what the Gemara is telling us is, even though you have a container that contains the water and holds the container, since that's not normally used for pouring and for even holding water, they are not considered to be kalim for these purposes. So don't use a sack and a kupa for the tilas yadayim. So now we're talking about a person that for whatever reason he doesn't have water, he doesn't want to touch water, the doctor says he can't put water in his hands because he has an infection, he has a band-aid, he has a this, he has a that, whatever the situation is. He doesn't want to use water. Now the whole reason why we go and wash our hands before eating bread, said the Gemara yesterday, Mishum Srach Truma. What's the Srach Truma? Because if I was a Kohen and I was eating Truma, I have to make sure not to touch the Truma because my hands have a din of Stam Yodayim Shniyasei. So it's a shiny. I'm going to make the Truma into a Shlishi, so I have to wash my hands. What happens if I'm not going to touch the Truma? I'm going to go and wear... Now, I don't know if we can wear gloves, whether that would work, because gloves might become bottled to the body. So the Gemara says, use a mapa. Mapa means like taking a towel, tie the towel around your hand, and use it every time you're holding a piece of bread, go and hold it with a towel, with a napkin, with whatever, some sort of thing that is chotzeh, that you're not actually holding the bread.
A fork, if you...
Maybe, if you...
That's koach gavra, bottle.
Maybe. Anyway, Bagmar doesn't go into details, just talks about a mapa. But maybe the same thing would apply to a fork. Is he bailu? Ma'u lechum a mapa. Mi chashin dilma nogala. Do I have to be noivis that maybe the person, by accident, not on purpose, that he might go and touch the food? Even those of us that use forks, from time to time we touch the food, either subconsciously or unconsciously, without realizing it, or we have to push the food onto the fork, whatever. So maybe he's going to go and touch the truma, or maybe the regular non-kohen is going to go and touch the food. Is it permissible to use a mapa bim koim letilas yadayim toshema? Ukishinosnu levirab tzadoik. Oichel pochois me kebeya. Now this is the second part of the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah. The first part of the Mishnah says about some great Tanoim that they wouldn't even drink a drop of water outside the Sukkah. Everything your Sukkah. Reb Tzadik, however, took a little bit more of a lenient approach, and Reb Tzadik said, to be mechuyev in Sukkah, you have to have a shiur. So Reb Tzadik went and he ate oichel pochos mikibeya. Oichel means, in this case, bread, which was less than a kebeya's shiur. Noitloy the mapa, he didn't wash, but rather he held it with a mapa, with a cloth, with a towel. Va'oyuch lichutz the sukkah, and he would eat it outside the sukkah. Ve'ein mevorach achram, and he didn't go and bench at the end. My love, what's the reason why the Mishnah enumerates all of these things that he ate pochas mikibeya? He was holding with a mapa outside the sukkah. He didn't go and bench. My love, hokibeya boy the tilas yadayim. Probably the reason why he was able to go and take a mapa and not wash, because he felt that the shiur of bread that you're eating that requires in tilas yadayim is only if you're eating a kibeya or more. He's eating less than a kibeya. He felt as a result from tzodik that we don't have to wash hands. But therefore, I'm going to go and hold it with a mapa. But it's a mashma. But if it would be hakebeya, if it would be more than a kebeya, he would not have relied, gesundheit, gesundheit, he would not have relied on the mapa, but he would say, you have to do natilas yadayim. So therefore, the Gemara wants to be the raya that a mappa is no good. You have to have real live water in the tilas yadayim. The only exception to the rule, if it's such an insignificant amount of bread that Reb Tzadik held was less than a kebaya, then you don't need the tilas yadayim. It held it with a mappa. But if you require the tilas yadayim, then you got to have the real McCoy in tilas yadayim. It's not enough to have a mappa. So we can be poshut our shayla that a map is no good. You need real atilas yadayim. Nishkaraya. Maybe it's consigned that even more than a kebaya, you don't need atilas yadayim. You can use a mappa. Why does the Mishnah tell us that Reb Tzadik was eating less than a kebaya? Not for hilchas atilas yadayim purposes, because even for an atilas yadayim, even if it was more than a kebaya, even 12 kebaya, maybe a mappa is enough. Maybe. I don't know. It can't be poshut. That the Mishnah tells us less than a kebaya, to tell you Dilma HaKebaya Boy sukkah, boy bracha. It's coming to tell you that the reason why he ate outside of the sukkah during sukkahs is because he didn't have a proper shear. His shear, he felt, was a kebaya. The reason why he didn't bench at the end, because he felt he didn't have a shear, he felt that the shear is kebaya. And that's the reason why. That's why the Mishnah tells the Bachar Ibe. But not to go and tell the Silchus and Dias Yadayim, but to tell us Hilchis Sukkah and Hilchis Bracha. By the way, when it comes to Birchas and Muslim, we do not pass in the Reb Tzadik. That's a machlok between a mayor and Reb Yehuda. We pass in the Reb Meir that you only need a kezayis for purposes of benching. Legami the dinam natilas yadayim is already a shaila. When you are noitel yadayim pre eating hamoitze, whether if you're only going to eat a sheer kezayis, whether that requires washing or not. For sure, if you eat a sheer kebaya, everybody agrees you require netilas yadayim. Question is whether you only have a sheer kezayis that you're going to eat, do you have to make a netilas yadayim or not? Zok the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, brings from the Rekeach, that because it's a suffix, it's a machloikis, whether it's a sheer kezayis or kebaya for netilas yadayim purposes, if you're, even though you're only eating less than a kebaya, you're only eating a kezayis of bread or of challah, which you have to bench at the end, for sure, but for purpose of washing netilas yadayim, it's a suffix whether you require netilas yadayim, so you should wash without making a bracha al netilas yadayim. Wash without making a bracha. So whenever you're going to eat a piece of bread, decide in advance, am I going to eat only a kezayis? Don't make a bracha. If you intend eating a kebaya, then you should make a bracha.
Why, if it's a suffix to a bun, why don't we makel and say you don't need to wash at all? I mean, why it's it. I understand you're going to, you don't need a bracha, you don't say a bracha on the tilas yadayim if you do wash. But if it's suffix to a bun lahakel, why are we stopping the meter there? Why don't we say it's
good question. You have to look up the Shulchan Aruch or discuss it with a competent local Orthodox rabbi. That under these circumstances, because it's a shaila, whether it's kezayis or a kebaya, we have to go. Now, what's the reason why there's this machlokes? The Rekeach says is because that since the minimum shear of a seuda, not like Reb Tzadik, we paskin like Reb Meir, the minimum shear of a seuda is a kezayis, so since he's eating a full kezayis, then he has to go wash. On the other hand, since the whole reason that they were masak in the washing in the first place is because of the shear of tuma al tzrach truma, always when it comes to
transmission
of tuma by tumas ochlin, it's always a shear kebaya. No, here's no shear kebaya. So now, what's the ikar reason? Is it because you're eating, or because you might be matama by the tzrach truma? So that's what the shear is, whether it's a kezayis or kebaya. Wash, but just don't make a brach. Good. Anyway, so the Maisa, we have not been poishet our shaila from this Maisa of Reb Tzadik, because it could be that the reason why Reb Tzadik wore a mappa is not because it was less than a kebaya. It could be he would have put on a mappa even if it was more than a kebaya. So we're stuck with our original shaila. Do you need absolute water, or can you use a water substitute in the form of a mappa? Let's try to bring a raya from Rav and Shmuel. The Shmuel Ashchei the Rav de Ka'ochel b'mappa. Shmuel saw Rav eating with a mappa, with the understanding that Rav did not wash his hands, but he's holding a mappa over his hand. Omalai, and he says, Avdin Kedai, really? Is that what you're doing? Says Tap Rashi, V'chi oisin kein lecha b'lizia. Is this permissible? Omalai says, no, you have a mistake. Dati ketzora olai. Meaning, says Rashi, istinisani. Avo bishanataltei yodi. I washed my hands. B'yefshi lecha b'yodi. Ich kenish, ich ben ezar. He's such a finicky person. He could not eat the food with his fingers. And apparently he didn't have a fork or a knife or a spoon. So therefore he ate it with a mappa. So the Maizi washed his hands, nothing to worry about Rebbe Yisrael. He washed his hands. Still, because he was an Issanus, he continued to go and wear mapa on his hands, nevertheless.
Ricky,
okay. Zogti Mar. Kisolik Reb Zera. Yeah, Professor, Doctor, please take a seat. Barosh Shulchan. That's five Rosh Shulchans. Get. Zogti Mar. Kisolik Reb Zera. When Reb Zera came up to Eretz Yisrael, Akachin Rabami Rabasi to Kaachli Babuloi Chamosais. He went and saw that Rabami and Rabasi were eating the bread, wearing a chemis, means a container of sorts, which was baloi, which was worn out. So they were wearing this on their hands, something similar to gloves, not real gloves, but some sort of worn out beged. They put on the hands, and with that they were eating the bread. Again, he assumed that they didn't wash their hands. Is Omar Trikavri Ravri Kavasaicha Zachatzvai Grace again and Kedoshim Tzadikim like you? Little bit Rav Shmuel, are you making a mistake with Rav Shmuel and you're thinking that Rav ate by putting a mappa on his hands without washing? Don't you remember the end of the story? The Rav said about himself, Avad, I washed my hands. The only reason I'm using this mappa because I'm an Istanis. I'm very, very finicky. But you, Rabami Rabasi, apparently you're not such finicky individuals, and I see that you're wearing this chemis on your hands. Apparently you feel this is enough. No, no, no. Don't you have to wash your hands? Says the Gemara. When Reb Zera asked this question, Ishtemitze, he forgot. Hagim Rav Tachliva Baravimi Omar Shmuel Azvos Heitiru Maple Oichli Truma Leitiru Maple Oichli Taharis Rabami Rabasi Kehanim.
Right.
What is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara says something which is, if you will, ironic. The whole reason why we wash our hands before Hamoitze is because we're concerned about the Kehanim that are going to go and eat the Truma. And since Stam Yadayim Shniyah, saying, and since Truma can be Makabel Timah until the third Darga, as we know by Chilin, it only goes to Lashayni, but when it comes to Truma, it goes to Shlishi, and by Taharas, it goes to Aravi. So therefore, by Kahanim, they have this concern. We, Zorim, Yisraelim, Levim, we don't have this concern. Uti to Kahanim, because they might come and make the mistake and eat Truma with Stam Yadayim and Mimatavit. So not only they have to wash their hands, we have to wash their hands. Guess what? But the Kahanim have a leeway. Their leeway is if they want to, they can use a mappa. However, we Yisraelim, we cannot use a mappa. What's the reason why they can use one and we can't use one? L'choira, if we can't use one, certainly they can't use one. Because the whole reason for the not use of a mappa is because I'm afraid the person might go and touch the food. If I touch my food, I don't become electrocuted, and the food doesn't become electrocuted. Nothing happens, because ich bin de chazor, sam yidayim shniyasen, I'm only eating from chulin. Chulin, nothing happens. Shiny touches chulin, zero. Goodish. It's only by truma, then, it becomes tamei chuli lebechaz. So I would think by the kahanim, they should certainly be makbid to wash their hands. No, no, no. The kahanim can use the mappa, but me, the czar, I can't use a mappa. What's the reason why? Because kahanim's reasoning. And Kehanim know that the Truma is the Heilig and Azoi, holy and holy, holy and holy. They're going to be super, super meticulous and super scrupulous and super careful. Not even think of getting their hands within Dalet Amos of the food. It's going to, if they're going to hold it with something, it's going to be a long fork, a pitchfork that goes from here to Canarsie. They'll only eat it with that type of thing, but not getting close. But me, a regular czar, that I'm not so careful. I might touch the food. I got to wash my hands.
So is that the reason why they wore like a glove? It's not because they were Istanis. It's because they were being protected.
They were protecting their hands that it shouldn't go and touch chalchli in the food. Exactly right. Exactly right.
This profile.
Yeah. So let's talk and see the Rashi quickly. Rashi says, "Eitiru maplo ichli truma." Rashi is the third narrow line of Rashi. "Eitiru maplo ichli truma." That kahanim is reasoning. They're not going to touch. "Eitiru lo ichli chulei b'tahara." When the Gemara says "ichli taharas," it means we guys that eat chulei b'tahara. We're not so careful. Therefore, since I'm not careful, I can't use my mappa. I might touch the food. Oh, no good. But Rabami and Rabasi are both Kahanim. Kahanim's reason, hey? They can wear the Babloi Chamosis. So bottom line is, the Gemara has been poshut until this point. Remember, we asked our original Shaila, instead of the Tzilas Yadayim, you want to go and use a mappa. So the Gemara concludes, if you're a Kohen, you can use a mappa. If you're Yisrael, you cannot use a mappa because Chulil Bechazi might come to go and touch the food. Now they want to ask a shayla, what happens if you have two people involved? You have the ochel, the person who's eating, and you have the machel, the person who's feeding him. Nebuch the Oicha, for whatever reason, is not feeding himself. Maybe he's not well. Maybe he's a finicky type of guy. Maybe he's a royalty, and therefore somebody feeds him. Doesn't say why, but bottom line is, I have an Ochel and a Mach. Does the person who is being fed, does he have to wash his hands? After all, he's not touching the food. Maybe there's no din, or maybe, you know, he's bottled to the belt, he has to wash his hands. He's boilu. Ochel Machas, Machmas Machil, Tzorach Ntil Sidayim Eloi. Does the Ochel have to go and wash his hands? Now, probably you're thinking to yourself, does the machil have to wash his hands? That's going to be the next shayla of the Gemara. Stay tuned for the next shayla. But now we're talking about the ochel. Does he have to wash his hands? Toshima. Travuna bas chura. Have a koi kamed Rav Hamnuna. Bolam le umtsa bi ochel. Travuna bas chura was assisting Rav Hamnuna in eating his food. Bolam le means that he put into his mouth umtsa, a piece of meat, the ochel, and apparently Rav Hamnuna did not wash his hands. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, who cares that he was eating a piece of meat? After all, Netilas Yadayim is only required by
bread.
Who else is kasha? The Heilige Toises. And we're going to learn on Gamsa Toises now, Rabbi Yisai. This is not just Murashi. We'll learn Gamsa Toises. Look at the top Toises. Volum Le Umtze Zotrashi Zotoises. Pirush Upas Imo. He ate together with the Umtze. Also ate a piece of bread. The guns of toises, we're in the full toises, we said. Anyway, so bottom line is, even though the Gemara only focuses on the umtza, on the meat, there was a piece of bread together with the meat, and he fed it to him, and the apparent havamin at this time is that Rav Hamnuna, who is the ochel, did not wash his hands, so we can be poishet our shayla that an ochel, machmas machel, is potter from the tilus yadayim. Amalei. So now Rav Huna, who is the feeder, he's the machil. Amalei, he says now to Rav Hamnuna, the ochel, he loved Rav Hamnuna. If it wasn't for the fact that you're the great Rav Hamnuna, Rashi says, Odom Chochem, the Zoriz, you are so careful, meticulous, and scrupulous. Loisafinalach, I wouldn't go and allow for feeding you without Netilas Yadayim. I'd be noivis. I would insist that you have to wash your hands. Aha. My timer, what is the basis, what's the premise of what Rav Huna is saying? La mishum dezoyer b'lo noga. Apparently what he's saying is that I know that Rav Hamnuna is not going to go and touch it. And therefore says Rashi, l'choyah can be poishit, that if you have an ochel person who is careful, he does not require nedilas yadayim. See Rashi a little bit, 3-4 lines lower than our Gemara. Lav deserve le noga. Alma ein tzarech nedilas yadayim ubavad shelo yiga. If you have one person who's the ochel, another person's the machel, just go and tell the ochel person, ochel, I'm feeding you, don't touch the bread. And once he says, okay, no, I won't touch it, then he doesn't need it till he dies. Look, we can be patient. That's not what Rav Huna had in mind. What he was telling Rav Hamnuna is, Ilav Rav Hamnuna at, Tzoriz v'kodum ha-mashi yodeh me'ikara. Oh, ich beisach yeh degreiser Rav Hamnuna. You're not just a Zohir. You are a Zoriz. And anymore, at the end of Mesechtes, not the end, on Dav Chof in Mesechtes of Avodah Zarah, says, Zehirus me'vili de'zrizus. And for those of you that are familiar with Mesilas Yesharim, it goes from Mala to Mala, from Zehirus to Zrizus, and then greater Malas into Chasidus, into Kedusha, into Harim. Anyway, so the point is that we're not just saying that he was Zohar, he's not going to go and teach. He was a Zoriz. A Zoriz means that even before the Maisa Boliyodov, he prepared himself in advance that he took adequate precautions. What was the precaution? That he washed his hands. Oh, so this is like the Maisa that we had with Rav. Rav washed his hands, and he was holding a mop anyway because he was finicky. Rav Hamnuna washed his hands, so I don't have to worry, says Rav Huna, that you're going to touch anything. He loved Rav Hamnuna, that I know that you wash your hands. I would be very concerned about feeding you, because I'd be worried about you might touch the food without having washed. But you washed, so nothing to worry about.
Why are we focused on the require, you know, the need
to wash your hands.
Wash your hands just for very specific foods. What about, you know, meat and all those things?
Only worried about by bread. You're wondering why by bread as opposed to meat. No. So yesterday we learned that the reason why you wash your hands is because of Srach Truma. Srach Truma means that because the Kahanim would eat Truma, they certainly had to wash their hands. So we make a universal requirement that everybody does it, even though today none of us eat Truma, not even the Kahanim eat Truma. If you want to call it a Zecher, Zecher Lamasa Bereishis, what was the Yitchem, hopefully still today or tomorrow. Tomorrow is Bislo Shvach, this is Leibor. Exactly. Right? That's the famous story. Anyway, bottom line is, until Beheri Bunna Beis HaMikdash, I'm sorry, what's up here?
Very many harkakas.
Yeah, so they made a lot of
miles.
They made a lot of, so we should remember the Grosh HaKadushim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Truma, the Kahuna. They said,
outside our Israel.
Exactly. Everybody's got to go and wash their hands for that purpose, but only things which are susceptible to Truma. Meat can never be Truma. Truma, by definition.
They're all together.
Exactly. So Truma can only be fruits and vegetables. So you're saying, so why don't we go and wash our hands on fruit?
We already discussed that.
We already discussed that yesterday.
It'd
be a Balgaiv. Exactly right. So the only thing you required is when you're eating, and eating anything that you have to make a moitzi on. In other words, bread, challah, matzah, but nothing else. Back to our Gemara, Zokti Moravaita, Toshima. So we try to bring a rai from Rav. No rai. Toshima, Yom Rav Zera, Omarav. Vayitan, other prusel, toich, piv, shel, shamas. Elim ken, yudea, boy, shenot, liyotav. You have the shamas. Shamas, today in Eretz Yisrael, they call the meltzar. Meltzar means the waiter that's going and delivering all the food to individual people. A waiter. Yeah. So now the waiter's hungry too, and he's looking at everybody. Everybody's eating, and he's never not eating. So I cannot go and feed him. The Shama says, he's holding this large tray with 12 portions on it. Guess what? He's also hungry. I want to go and put a piece of bread into his mouth, and I go, yank, nobody's looking. Here, put it up. He shouldn't do it. Elim, can you dare, boy, shenot liyad? If I know he washed his hands, and we're okay. But if he didn't turn it to his time, he can't. Oh, so the chayyim can be poishit that an oichel machmas machel requires netilas yodayim.
Why would I think not?
That's the shayla. No, you don't have to be sorry. That's the premise of the question.
It just sounds so obvious. We've been talking about everyone having to do it. Now we're saying, just because you're a meltzer, you shouldn't? I mean,
you're doing a great job. The reason why an oichel machmas machel should not have to wash their hands is because he's not touching the food. He's sitting there with his feet on top of his hands. It's very cold, and that's why he has the heater on. So he puts his hands underneath his legs, and he's not touching the food at all. It's only a machel who's feeding him the food. Because of the universal gezeira and takana that everybody has to wash their hands, maybe he also has to wash his hands, even though he's not going to touch the food. Or maybe nisht. That was the Morshah. Did they make it so universal, even for a person that not using his hands, he has to wash his hands anyway? So now we're trying to bring a raya from a meltzar. And it says about this meltzar that if you put food into his mouth, he's not touching the food that he's eating. He may be touching plates and trays, but the food that he's eating, not touching whatsoever because he has his hands full. It says you cannot put the food into his mouth unless he did netilas yadayim. So I can be poishet my shaila from the case of the Shamas, that anybody that is an ochel, machmas machel, he's not putting the food into his own mouth. Somebody else is feeding him, nevertheless he has to wash his hands.
There's a difference because a waiter is going to be touching the food.
So we're going to make differences about waiters, but at least on the surface, right. Do you see that we're trying to make a good rite?
Yes.
That a waiter might be different, that's going to be the Gemara's Teretz. Stay tuned for the Gemara's Teretz. Me'ah Shamas, mevorech al after all, if you're feeding him, now the question is, does he have to make separate bruchas each time you put something more into his mouth? So when it comes to the kois, yes, he has to make a separate boyer b'gufen every time you give him another drink. Why, says Rashi? Because since the Shamas is really not part of the Seuda, he's only a waiter, he doesn't know whether people are going to be gracious to continue giving him to drink, maybe only one drink and that's it, no more. You're going to soon be shikker, we don't want you to drink anymore. So every time he gets another kos, this is a new surprise, he's got to make a new bruch. However, every time he gets another prusa, he doesn't have to. Rashi says, he can be safe for sure they're going to go and give me bread. I'm also a person. He can be sure that they're going to continue feeding him pieces of bread. So once he made one hamoitza, he doesn't have to make multiple hamoitzas. Rabbi Yochanan, however, said, no. Mevorach al kol prusa prusa, and every prusa, you also have to make another hamoitza. Since the machlok is between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether you have to make a new bracha each time al kol prusa prusa. So Rav Papa, who is always, like Mendy says, always the peacemaker, he says, I'm not going to make a machloikas. Don't make a machloikas if you don't have to. That's one of the many cases where a papa shows that everybody holds the same. Nimrin l'travayu. Says Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, no kasha. When the Gemara says l'kasha means there's no machloikas. They both agree. Why did Rav say you have to make a separate bracha, or you don't have to make a separate bracha called prusa prusa? Why did Rabbi Yochanan say you have to make a bracha called prusa prusa? Hadik adam choshev, hadalek adam choshev. It depends whether there's an adam choshev there at the table. What difference does it make if there's an Adam Choshev at the table or not? Says Rashi, Iika Adam Choshev, but Tuach HaShamas, Sheyitan Leilechem Kol HaTzayrach. He knows an Adam Choshev over there, probably the Baal Bos. Rashi doesn't say so clear what he has in mind, but he can be sure, the Adam Choshev, there's royalty at the table. A grace of Sheshiva, a grace of Rov, a grace of Tamachochem, a grace of Mensch, sitting there at the table. Avada, the Meltzar is going to get plenty to eat, he doesn't have to worry, and therefore he does not have to make a separate bracha. But if you don't have an Adam Chashim over there, so maybe they won't treat him so royally. In other words, we're all sitting together, Shabbos, I'm not going to give him a tip, he's no good, he spills the food on my tie, on my shirt, on my this, I'm not going to give him anything. Adam Chashim. So that's one pshat. But there are others that say the pshat is Adam Choshev. Since in the Adam Choshev there's going to be plenty of food for all of the mishtatvim, because an Adam Choshev comes, then other Anoshim Choshev comes, it's like it says by Yisrael, Miro Eile, and didn't come to go and join in the procession and in the Suda and everything. So if there's an Adam Choshev, there's going to be a lot of people and there's going to be a lot of food. So there's a lot of food, he doesn't have to worry that he'll have Baruch Hashem food. But if it's just a plain ordinary party, a plain ordinary dinner, they might not have set up so much food, so there might not be enough. They're not enough. The Meltzer is not going to get, so therefore he has to make a separate broch. I'll call Prusa Prusa. Anyway, all of that is fascinating, but it doesn't answer our question. We want to know about the Netilas Yadai. So Timar Mikol Mokan Haka Amar L'Chir, it says Klor Elam Ken Yodesh and Natal Yada. We have to know for sure that the waiter washed his hands. So I have a raya that a waiter, and therefore L'Chir, everybody in Klal Yisrael, even though he's an Ochel and he's not the person putting the food into his hands, he is the beneficiary of a machil that he has to wash his hands. Let's bring a raya. Everything more alike. Uri was suggesting, like Barry was saying, like everybody was thinking, a shamus, a waiter, may be different. Why is a waiter different? Shani shamus to Torah. Torah means he's busy with food. Since he's busy with food, he is constantly putting plates on the table and he's taking food and giving over here. And guess what happens? If he's not going to wash his hands, from time to time he's going to forget that he's not going to touch the food. He's not going to just touch the plates and touch the silverware and the napkins. He's going to touch the food. As a precautionary measure, we have to make sure that he washes his hands. But that's only the shamus. But anybody else who is the beneficiary of somebody feeding him, maybe he doesn't have to wash his hands. And so the vow, we do not have a raya from the case of the Shabbos. He might be in a special, exceptional category. It's not about it. Let's try to bring another raya. Don't give a prusa l'shamis when he's either holding the kos in his hand or the balad boss is holding the kos in the hand, because maybe there's going to be a kilkel. So what could be the kilkel if he's holding the kos? What's the problem over here? So if you remember about the balad boss we had in the Gemara the other day, that don't... What was up there? Yeah, what did it say?
So you shouldn't if he's something, you should take off the table.
Take off the table. Why not?
Because he'll choke.
Exactly. He wants it to remain on the table. You're taking off the coleslaw, figuring nobody needs it anymore. He's in immediate middle of drinking. And what may happen whilst he wants to... Exactly.
To inhibit you from taking away the coleslaw. He'll choke on the water.
He'll choke on the water. Rashi said maybe chas v'shalom yikamli dei chanika, chas v'shalom we choke. Over here too, if somebody's going and giving a proof of the Shabbos, the balabas may get very angry. Who are you? I invited you, Mr. Smith, to join me at this party, at this dinner, for you. Don't give me any ideas about what I do with my waiters. My waiters, that's my headache, not your headache. I'll serve him before, I'll serve him later. Look, he's already 800 pounds. He doesn't need another piece of food. Yes, can I know how to...
He's my employee.
Exactly, my employee. So don't get involved, you know. You're over here. Don't be an interficious meddler. Don't get involved in my employer-employee relationship. So therefore, that's why he may get upset. Similarly, not that he'll get upset, but the shamus, who is very busy with going and feeding stuff, if you're going to start going and giving him to drink, then, if he's holding a kos in his hand and you're going to start putting something into his mouth, he might come to, says Rashi, to pour out the water or the drink that he has in his kos as a result of you putting something into his mouth. In other words, he wants to go and drink something. Now you're putting something into his mouth. He has to go and chew it, and he's holding onto his kos by accident. Anyway, bottom line is, says Yomar, don't do it when either he's holding the kos or when the balabas is holding the kos, because it might be Edvar Kilka Basuda. The Shamis Shleinotel Yodov, also lead him prusa l'teich piv, by a Shamis, that if he didn't wash his hands, don't put a prusa into his mouth. Okay. And there's the same rai as before, and the same terence as before, that Shamis Torid, Shamis Shishani, and therefore you have no raya. So the Gemara blibes l'choyre without being poshed hashala, whether the ochel has to go and wash his hands or not. The Gemara will be poshed at the end before we get to the Mishnah. Yes, Reb Simcha.
It's right
time to
talk about it. So the Gemara tells us that some kin can show him that Chayav Mita Shata was killed at Chila, right? They took at Chila again, and Vashti was killed.
Right.
Says, was Vashti killed? Achshveish took it out.
Yeah.
Says, what? Right. Says, last, just on Ish for Ish. As a man, whatever you want to say about the guy, he would want to do everything. He was such a, in that moment, he was trying to last, just on Ish for Ish. Say, he was so nice to be a Kodesh Boko, had Rosh Merachim in Moth, seeing,
said, had he,
like this,
he was such a good person. That's why.
Look, he shouldn't give it to Chachamishi. Why? Because maybe he'll get upset about the boss and so on and so forth. So
then, he was a generous person.
Not to die because last Sunday he was
very magnanimous. He was generous and spirit.
Every person, you want this?
Very good, beautiful. Iboilo. Until now we spoke about the ochel. Now let's talk about the machel. Because after all, he's holding the food. The chari for sure has to wash his hands. But he's not the person who's eating the food. And don't be shy. The boy the machel toshim tils time. My answer. Toshima. The tari de mei benashe. Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer. Isha medichas yoda achas v'mayim. V'noisenes pas libno kotten. We're talking about on Yom Kippur. As you know, on Yom Kippur, we're not supposed to wash our hands, except when we have to wash our hands. For instance, in the morning, you go to the bathroom, but even there, you only do the minimum shear. You don't do anything more than that. What happens if, however, somebody's got to eat? Who's got to eat? But not cotton. Akleinikint. Akleinikint is not a mitzvah, so he doesn't have to worry about washing. We're worried about the machil, the mommy that's giving him to eat. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, the mommy that's giving him to eat doesn't have to wash both hands. She only has to wash that hand that she's using to go and feed the kid. Here, we got to minimize any type of washing rechitza on Yom Kippur. So, medichas yod achaz v'mayim, rinse one hand in water, yo. And he says, and puts the food into the mouth. Omro lava Shami Azokin, shloi rotel hachal biyod achaz. Shami Azokin wanted to be a gruesome machmir, and he said, no. I'm not going to wash my hands. Yom Kippur, hiding your tongue, you're good. And he's washing. And the
mother hold the food in the bag.
In the bag?
Or in my bag, in a muffin.
You ever try to feed a small child?
Did they give the child the food, which is holding it in the hand, which doesn't have to wash hands?
Did you ever try to feed a small child and maybe they'll bite off some part of the mappa too? I mean, it's not easy to feed a small kid that requires feeding. It's not easy.
Number one. And number two, we concluded at the top of the Omud
that
only Kehanim can go and use a mappa. A non-Koyan cannot use a mappa because we are choshesh that the person is not going to be sufficiently careful, and by accident or on purpose, the person is going to go and touch the food. Particularly if you're dealing with a child, the child presumably at times is going to clench its mouth. No, I don't want to eat, and therefore you're going to have to push it, and you're going to have to go and touch the food eventually. So she washes it. Maybe she didn't have a mappa. Anyway, Akasha Vamasa, they said she can go and use one hand, she can go wash, to go and put the food into the mouth. However, Shammai Azaki was super, super machmer. He didn't want to go and wash his hands. He didn't want to do that. They said, Shammai Azaki, since you're so scrupulous and meticulous, chamoyer bikuch nefesh for the tinnik, that you're not going to feed properly. In other words, he wanted to just put the food down in front of him, apparently. He didn't want to go and assist. They said, you have to go wash both hands. I want to make sure, absolutely, that you're not moneya min ha'chiloi, and therefore that you're going to go and give the child to eat. If you look at the Rashi,
who's Gozer and Shammai?
The people that were at that time, the hill people. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Rashi, 10 lines before the white lines. Ish v'dich yada b'mayim b'yom kippurim. T'yavu b'shi osu b'lechitza etiuli. Ish v'dich yada achas. One, the leak of the pasta, touch the pasta, put it into the mouth.
What is all cleanliness?
What's the reason why you have to do this today? I think we had yesterday.
No, okay.
Now the next Rashi says, "Shlei rotzel hachol biyadi achas." I feel yadi achas li rotzel hadiach leilitim pasatini biyam kibur meneim achiloi. He would go and push it off. Yankala, it's almost the time. Another 8 hours will be finished with Yom Kippur. Just hold it a little bit more. After all, you're going to have chinuch anyway to go and fast eventually. Try to hold it in, or just go and eat lollipops. Don't eat pas. So he tried to go and hold it back. Alma machel terchtil. So Rabbanan said, "Machmish kakinsin. This is a child. You got to go and feed it." Where goes and you got to go wash both hands to make sure that he go and gave him to eat. Good. Anyway, what do I see from all of this? That the ma'achil has to wash his or her hands. Otherwise, we would say, you're only the ma'achil. You're not eating. You don't have to wash your hands. No, you got to wash your hands. It's the charai. The ma'achil has to wash their hands. Om Rabbi Nishkarai. Hosem Mishum Shivsa. Vosai Shivsa. We're not talking about the washing prior to feeding. We're talking about washing the tilis yadayim in the morning when you get up. Well, what do you mean? Because the reason why we wash the tilis yadayim in the morning, what we call negovaser, is not only because of nikius, but because of a ruach ra, which is called shivsa. And that ruach ra goes on the person's fingers, and if he didn't wash his hands, cholila b'chaz, that can go and travel from the fingers onto the bread. That, so we're not talking about the Sarach Truma issue. We're talking about the Shivs issue. Look at the Rashi, 3-4 lines before the white lines. Also, Shiv Shivsa. Ruach Ra Shoyr Al Yadayim. Shloy not Lushachas. He didn't wash him in the morning. It could be that you don't need to wash your hands. In other words, you have no raya from the case of the Isha Medichas Yoda or the Shammai Azaki. It could be both of them were so careful and scrupulous about washing, they didn't even wash the tilas yadayim, and they said, "Oh, you didn't wash negavas, then don't touch the food." They should wash negavas separately. But the mice, they didn't wash negavas. On that case, they said, "Oh, make sure before you feed your tinnik any food, you wash your hands because cholil v'chas. If you don't, the shifts of ruach ro will go on to the food, and that could be a sakana for the child." So the bottom line is, we do not have a raya l'chol ateir kula. A regular machl that has to go wash his hands. It could be special Yom Kippur shivsa that they didn't wash their hands at all, even negovasa in the morning. Toshema diavud Shmuel, Ashkel Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, saw Shmuel, his son, the kabach, he was crying. Amle my kabach, why are you crying? He said, the machl, my Rebbe, he punched me. Oy, oy, oy. Have you ever heard a case like that? Yeah, that's what they used to do in the good old days. Today, they go and put him in jail for giving patch. But the machl, the Rebbe gave patch to Shmuel. Amai, why did he give patch to you? The Amalika Sof is Lebroi Vele Moshe's Yodei. Apparently Shmuel was a real nice, nice young boy. And he would go and give food to the Rebbe's son. And he gave food into his mouth. Apparently the Rebbe's son was probably a tinnik. And he gave him the food. And he didn't wash his hands. And therefore he gave him a patch. You're feeding my son without washing your hands. What are you doing? So now the father Shmuel asked his son, Amai Le Moshe, why didn't you wash your hands? Amalei. I don't understand you. Who ochel vano mashina? I'm not eating. He's eating. He should wash his hands. I have to wash my hands. So now Avud Shmuel said, not only did your Rebbe not learn the halacha properly, because a machal taka doesn't need yetilas yadayim,
assuming that he doesn't touch the food.
Mimcha nami machi, but even gives you patch. In other words, it's bad enough that the Rebbe is an amuret, and he thinks that the machal is required to go and wash the hands. No such requirement. But he's so convinced that he's right and you're wrong, he gives you punishment, he goes and patches you. And therefore, says, Halacha, the person who's eating, tzarech matzil sidayim, even though he's not touching the food. But he has to, because of the universal gezeira that everybody that eats bread has to wash, even if you're not touching the bread. It's a touchy issue, but you gotta wash your hands. Machil, ain't a tzarech matzil sidayim, and therefore Shmuel was right that he didn't wash his hands, and the Rebbe was wrong for giving him a patch. Zok the Mishnah. Very simple Mishnah, very simple Gemara. Zok the Mishnah tzarech odem basar ugvinim metachas achas uvat shihu lo yuhu noikin ze bezeh. If a person, for instance, is carrying basar and gvina, let's say from the supermarket, does he have to have separate bags and separate handles and separate...
And separate hands.
Exactly. Does he have... No, you can't basar gvina metachas. One package. But just be careful, they shouldn't touch one another. Touch one another could be tzuris, musim achula. But as long as they're two separate...
Same back,
they could be packaged individually with some sort of machitza in between. Right. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oymer, Shnei Achsonoim, Oichla Shulchan Echo. Now, if you have two guests, like two guests in a hotel, they're allowed to go and sit at one table. Zeh Basar v'zeh Gvina v'ein Choshen. Each one does his own thing. In other words, they're not being served by the hotel. Each one brought along their own sandwich. This person is eating a cheese sandwich. This one is eating a bologna sandwich. They two can go and sit together at the same table, and they don't have to be noivis, because each one is a separate achsanoi. I'm not going to take from your sandwich. You're not going to take from my sandwich. They don't have to worry about Basar b'chalav. But we'll see in the Gemara shortly, it's not so simple. It's only in a case where the two don't know each other. What happens is they're old friends and they came together on the same Jewish heritage tour and they're sitting at the same table and this one is eating his bologna and this one eating the cheese. Ooh, it looks so good. Your sandwich looks so good. Can I just have one little bite? I want to... Okay, we'll see that in the Gemara shortly. Okay. We start off, it says the Gabi, if you have the Basar Gvinim and Pachas Achas, make sure they don't touch each other. Even they do touch each other. If they're Tzoynim and Tzoynim, they both have to be cold. Who? Then there's no problem. Tzoynim and Tzoynim, there's no Blias, there's no nothing. So what have to be Noivis? So let them touch each other. Or a Bai, you need a Klipa like Boy, a Doch be like Boy. Even if though you don't need Klipa. Klipa would mean that if it's Taka warm, then you have to go and at least cut off and peel off an outside Klipa, a quarter of an inch, whatever, to make sure there were no Blias into the whole thing. But if it's tzoynen b'tzoynen, even though you don't need a cleaver, but you need hadachi, you have to rinse it off. If a piece of meat touches a piece of cheese, make sure that you chashashul chulir b'chas, then go wipe it off and rinse it off. You don't have to go and clap al chet the whole day, but you have to wash it. So therefore he's saying, don't make sure, no, you can say b'zeh, even by tzoynen b'tzoynen. Good. Reb Shem Gamliel says that Amish Shnei Achsanoim can eat together at the same table. Zeh Bas v'Zeh Gvina. Amar Rav Chana Barami Amar Shmuel Loishanu Elishay Makirim Zeh. They don't know each other. I never met him. Av Makirim Zeh. If they're old friends, they know each other. That's already awesome because I'm afraid they might mix and match their food. Tana Mihachi Reb Shem Gamliel Oyim Beis Achsanoim Shenis Arachum Pundekecha. They both come to the same inn. Zeh Bom Menatzof, and this one comes from up north. Zeh Bom Menadom, this one comes from down south. All these trying to just dramatize that they didn't know each other. Total different communities. This one has a slice of meat and this one has a piece of cheese. Nothing to worry about. They only said that it's also if it's in one tfisa. Rashi says tfisa means krach echad. They're in one block. I guess in one bag. They're one. And the Gemara says tfisa achas. Okay, what are we talking about? One block. We're talking over here two different individuals. This one bringing his chaticha, his gavina. What do you mean tfisa achas? So if you want, ela ken tfisa achas. What means ken tfisa achas? It means, says Rashi, that they know each other. Each one knows each other, and therefore that they're like one unit in terms of their relationship. Oh, then I got to be noivis because one may share with the other. Whenever you have two brothers, normally I would say two brothers, you're not allowed to eat together. He's going to share with him, he's going to share with him. But what happens if you have two brothers? No, nobody's ever heard of something like this, but you could have two rebbes that are makbid one on the other, and they won't eat on the same table with the other guy. And what happens if they're stuck there in the same inn and they're eating at the same table? He doesn't even look at him. He's looking at him. Never happened, but theoretically it could happen. So what would be the halacha now? Could one eat gvina and the other eat basar? Are they like one from Tzarif and then one from Darif? Mo. Amalei said to him, Yoim recall a Srikin Asurin, the Srikin Baisin Mutarin. Now this is a euphemism, a borrowed term. What this is referring to is matzahs on Pesach. What means matzahs on Pesach? As all of you know, we eat very plain, simple matzahs. There are some people that like to make matzahs mitsuyorim. Mitsuyorim means that they have nice designs on it. Just like today, when you send shlachmunas, you can't go and just send two things together. It has to have a whole theme. It has to all be all green, or all yellow, or all bananas, or all this, or all that. And the person has to wear a costume that looks exactly like a shlachmunas. Anyway, in the good old days, when people were normal, they didn't have all of these in Mishigasim. Yeah, chashom, if any of you, you're not going to theme, I don't want to take away from you. It's part of the
simchas.
It's part of my simchas purim to go and talk about it also. Anyway, so what happens now for Pesach? You have a person who wants to make a fenty schmenty matzah. No, I play matzah, me, Mr. Smith, I should just keep playing matzahs. Can make it nice. There should be a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu taking out the Yidden from Mitzrayim, and you see holding his staff, and you can see the water there. That water has become
Chametz.
Become Chametz, or become at least Kibrox. And when you see the Mitzrayim, that they're all sinking in the Yam, and the Yidden Baruch Hashem are standing up, they get excited. It's beautiful. The problem is, you know how long it takes to make all these serum? It takes a bit of time.
More than 18 minutes.
Oh. Or at least it's a chash, and therefore it might become chametz. Don't do it. There was a person by the name of Baisus, unrelated to the Tzedokim and Baisusim. This Baisus had a super modern invention. It was a special mold that you put your matz into it, you closed it, and then you opened it up, and wow! Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen and Klal Yisrael and Mitzriyim and Yamsef all Mitzriyar in 1 second. You didn't have to go and chisel and make and manufacture, all because he had this beautiful tfus. Would you be allowed to go and buy from Bais? Sure, no problem. In 18 minutes, in 3 seconds, he put into the mold and it came out beautiful. Says Imar, no. Yoimru, people are going to go and say, call us Rikin Asun. Everybody else, when they make their fancy schmancy matzes, that's awesome. Oh, Bais is a machitnes, a meiches, Rikin Bais mutare. In other words, what we call that is loy pluk. Once you say a rule that brothers cannot eat together milchiks and fleshiks at the same table, and by the way, it doesn't mean at the same table. Of course you can eat milk and flesh as long as there's no hecker in between. Same thing applies to Hilchas Nida by a husband and wife. Everybody knows. Anyway, so there's got to be some sort of hecker that everybody remembers. And that's the reason why we have our placemats. When you use a milky placemat, a fleshy placemat, to show you're you, I'm me. Good. So even though you have that exceptional case of two brothers and a makbid zelzeh, you never heard of such a case. Theoretical one out of a million. So don't say, oh, here it's always mutter, because the people will say, Srike, normally Srike ma'aser, and these two are mutter. So don't avoid
place. Actually, if they sit at the same table, they might reconcile and come to share their...
They might end up with bloody noses. Who knows? Let me ask you a question. What happens if a person has only one tunic, one article of clothing? Normally, if you have multiple articles of clothing, you're not allowed to go and wash in Chol HaMoed. As you know, you're not allowed to go and do any malacha, which is not absolutely required. So, what happens if you only have one cholak? Mutter chamsim chamsim, and then you're allowed to go and wash. Yoimru, everybody's going to say, everybody down the block here in this frum shchuna, nobody's allowed to go and wash. Yankel, that grace of tzaddik, he's allowed to go and wash. And they won't realize this because he only has one tunic altogether. So one would say the same thing. As soon as we buy some mutarim, loy plug, we shouldn't even allow Yankel with the cholik yecha to be mechavis ben boyit. Everything Gemara, hosim omen ma barbashi, a zura mechiach olav. What means the zura mechiach olav? Everybody that has two pairs of pants and only has one belt, so when he's washing one pair of pants and it's hanging there on the laundry line, what does he do? He takes out the belt and he wears it on the second pair of pants. After all, he doesn't want his pants to fall down. So he uses one belt for two pairs of pants. What happens if you only have one pair of pants altogether? You don't need to take the belt out, because anyway I can't wear the belt. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go wear a nice bathrobe or whatever I have to wear, a big towel, whatever. I'm going to just stay inside and nobody should see. But the point is, if somebody sees that belt hanging from the pants, that's the siman. He only has number one pair of pants. So look at Rashi on the Omer Aleph, Ezur Mechiach Olav, about 8 lines in. Ezur Mechiach Olav. Ezer tamid hu kavu b'chalukai. His Ezer is always connected to his pants, to his tunic, whatever. The normal person, when he takes off one choluk, he takes off the ezer, he takes off the belt, and he puts it in the second pant. Leave it in the laundry. There's no purpose in taking it out because I only have one pair anyway. When he sees that they're washing it and the ezer is connected to it, he knows he only has one pair. That's why he gets a special heter.
The halacha is Rav Shimon Gamliel in three places, right? The Ma'ariv Shona, Itliz, and
have a wonderful day, everybody. Say thank you.